Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, I'm going to weigh in on the Daystar scandal and the allegations that have been made against Joni Lamb over at Daystar by her son, Jonathan, and her daughter-in-law, Susie Lamb. So we're going to dive into this. I've been very reticent to talk about this story because it has taken me a long time for me to get interested in this story. And with God's providence, that was for the best because a lot of the initial reporting for this story has definitely come under question. And we're going to dive into some of the fake news that went out about this story and kind of apply discernment on what is going on here, or what could be going on here. Because at first, one side seems true until, you know, another side comes to examine it. So what exactly is going on here, and can we apply some discernment to this? And that's what I'm going to intend to do. I don't normally cover stories in this part of evangelicalism. I just kind of call it clown world in my head. Like, I only have one video on Benny Hinn. I don't talk a whole lot about the hyper-charismatic televangelist. That's just generally not what I do a whole lot of here at Evangelical Dark Web. But, you know, you should still subscribe because I believe we talk about issues that matter more in evangelicalism than stories like this. But anyway, this is our Patreon-like system if you like, but the least you can do is like and subscribe. I also have a book, Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare, which is out on Amazon, and you can check that out. So I wrote this article, Discerning Daystar, Julie Roys, and the Alleged Abuse Scandal. So we're going to be talking about some sensitive topics here in this video. I'm going to use my article kind of as a nice template just to go through. There's a lot of scandals, and I kind of begin by talking about, you know, there's a lot of times where the initial reporting, it's good to weigh in on things after the dust is settled, after both sides have weighed in, and this is definitely a story that epitomizes that. Daystar is a global 9-figure television network founded by Marcus and Joni Lamb. Upon Marcus's death in November 2021, there was discontent with the succession of the media empire and a simmering discontent among the family. In 2023, Susie Lamb was fired, and in November 2024, Jonathan Lamb was fired from Daystar for bad performance and refusing to reconcile with the CEO. The termination letter contains a threat against disparaging the company, which is going to be pretty obvious what this is about, because the termination came after he was talking to Julie Roys and the correspondence that she was doing. So enter Julie Roys. Prior to termination, Jonathan and Susie Lamb coordinated with Julie Roys, a feminist blogger. So Julie Roys is not a friendly. She is an enemy of the church. She does a lot of, you know, she would call it journalism, but she's a feminist blogger who hates the church. She particularly hates any powerful man in ministry. So they went to her. That is something to consider. They went to her. I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong, who's guilty or who's innocent, but it's not a coincidence that they chose to go to Julie Roys as opposed to someone more reputable or actually reputable. So the response she received from lawyers referenced a letter received on November 15th. So he was fired on the 16th, but she sent them a letter on the 15th. So there's clearly a connection between these activities that they're doing and them being fired. So what are they alleging? And this is where we get into some sensitive topics. Jonathan, who's Joni Lamb's son, and his wife Susie have accused Joni of covering up sex abuse with their daughter by a male family member referred to as Pete. They claim that the incident occurred during a family retreat August 2021, where Pete was allegedly found alone with their unclothed daughter in a room. Joni and her late husband Marcus reportedly chose not to involve the police, instead opting for an internal resolution, which included prayer sessions for reconciliation rather than legal action. So that is a summary, a 1,000-foot-view summary of what these allegations are. Obviously, it's a little bit more to unpack than just that paragraph. Julie Royce refers to the accused abuser as Pete for fear of legal liability, which seems like that process has already started. So if she's lied, if this whole thing is a scam, they've definitely opened them up to some major liability, and Daystar is definitely pursuing legal action. That seems to be a big consistent part of their response. So he's not been charged with a crime, which is their justification over at the Roy's report for not naming this person that they're clearly accusing of heinous crimes. So they're not willing to name him. Could mean they have a weak case, which I think they do, just because this is very difficult to prove in general. There's nothing that would lead to a conviction from what we know. On a hot day, and this is a quote from the Julie Royce article, on a hot day in Florida in 2021, then Daystar TV executive Jonathan Lamb was summoned by his frightened wife Susie. Pete, one of their male relatives, had followed their 5-year-old daughter upstairs as the girl was going to change to go swimming. It's like Pete's eyes, he went black, and he's like in zombie mode, Susie recounted to the Royce report in an exclusive interview. So they lead off this article, this bombshell report, with that salacious hook. And then they refer back to that incident. So this incident is supposed to be the smoking gun for the allegations that this Pete guy is a pedophile. So keep that in mind. This is the smoking gun that they have, and it largely depends on your interpretation of the events, which we're going to talk about what exactly the alternative views of this event are, because Julie Royce, spoiler alert, materially misrepresents what went on here, and they chose to do that intentionally. We're going to dive into that, but first, let's actually listen to their presentation of what happened. So Julie Royce states, the saga involving the couple's daughter started 8 months before the incident at the beach house. That's when the girl disclosed to Susie that she had been molested. Susie, her daughter, told her that a man had touched her and that he used her own hands to indicate that she'd been fingered. And she feels the need to specify that we're not naming the child. The girl did not identify her molester other than to mention a couple physical characteristics, Susie said. So we have a very vague depiction of who the perpetrator is. Initially, Susie thought that the perpetrator was someone at her daughter's school, but she discovered that the preschool did not employ any men. So they did look into it. As the months went by, both Jonathan and Susie began to suspect Pete. So this is a pretty interesting fact here. They suspected this Pete person long before, or months before, the actual smoking gun incident. She recalled that after a summer vacation in 2020, Pete told her that her daughter had walked in on him in the bathroom completely naked. So again, that's not evidence. That could have been traumatizing to a then 4-year-old, but I, you know, you can't just build an entire case on something that he apparently disclosed to them and came clean about that happening. They said Pete was often with their children in Daystar's green room while they were filming their show. And once Rebecca and Jonathan Weiss, Jonathan's sister and brother-in-law, warned them about Pete. So they were warned about Pete. Apparently, the couple reportedly told her, this is hearsay, by the way, they saw him putting his hands all over the child and kissing her. So they were told this, allegedly, but again, there's no corroboration by the people who reportedly told her this. So even though they suspected Pete molested their daughter, the Lambs proceeded to go on an executive retreat with Pete, and this is in August 2021. A detail pointed out by Pete's lawyer, and you know, like I said, the last detail was heresy. They also talk about the sleepovers and playdates and stuff like that is also brought in, and they're trying to just lay the groundwork that Pete is a creepy dude. Now, again, maybe Pete is a creepy dude.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But again, this is where we have to talk about, and then there's another quote here. So, the day that their daughter disclosed the alleged abuse, Susie immediately called Joni, who urged Susie not to go to the police, but instead to bring the girl to her. After meeting one-on-one with Joni, the girl stopped talking about what had happened, Susie and Jonathan said. So they basically alleged after this meeting with Joni Lamb, the girl stopped talking about it entirely. And, you know, it was like a locked box is the quote that they use. So very strange indeed. We're not sure exactly what's going on here. They obviously have a very strong feeling that she was made to kind of keep it secret. The daughter was. So let's talk about the material misrepresentation. So this is the climax. This is how Julie Roys reported this event. Jonathan and Susie reported their suspicion to the police, but they said they kept it secret from their family. Because their daughter wouldn't talk about it, the police closed the case. Later, it was reopened. Then, on August 3, 2021, when Jonathan caught Pete in a room with his naked daughter, the couple went to Marcus and Jonas, hoping they'd do something. But almost immediately, the elder Lambs declared Pete innocent, Jonathan and Susie said. So, there's an asterisk in this part of the article, because they left out some very key details, which they would later tell someone else. This is Susie Lamb talking about the incident.
Change into their swimsuit.
Just my daughter.
And right when you did that, how did you see Pete's...
So she goes up the stairs.
What did his eyes look like?
So she's like, Mommy, I want to go swimming. I said, okay, go up. Her room is on the third floor. Go up the stairs. Go put on your swimsuit. So she turns up, go up. Pete is in the kitchen. I had told a journalist this part, but we didn't make it public because we want to leave children out of the story. Mm-hmm. There was another child, you know, that he was holding his kid in his arms. I'm not going to get into that, but it's almost like it was a non-factor. It was just like the eyes turned, like dilated. I don't even know. Something took over. And immediate, this man goes, ah, and started following her. And I'm telling you my...
So that is a very key detail. That was a big difference in the story. So what we have here is not simply a matter of Pete going upstairs and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. But what we have here is him holding a child while doing this. That is a huge difference. The implication was that the implication was that Pete was caught red-handed being a peeping Tom. However, not only was he holding his infant, but the girl's brother was also in the room. This is a clear misrepresentation of what was initially reported, and they bury the correction at the bottom of the article. So it says, correction, our initial report said Pete was alone in the room with Jonathan and Susie's daughter. Pete was holding a baby in his arms, and Jonathan and Susie's son was on a bunk on the opposite side of the room. So that is a huge difference in the facts, and they deliberately, as was shown in that clip, they deliberately chose not to report those details. They wanted to frame this as this Pete guy getting caught red-handed being a peeping Tom. Rather, he was holding a baby while doing this, which definitely makes the peeping Tom narrative a lot less believable. I'm just going to be honest. That doesn't seem very believable that he was doing something wrong while holding a baby. That doesn't really compute to me. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but they took that detail out for a reason. So Rachel Lamb, who's Jonathan's sister, has given a different account of the story. She posted, "One afternoon, some of the family was in the kitchen talking. Pete was holding his baby, who happened to be super fussy. Whenever his baby got fussy, he would walk around with the baby and change environments, and most of the time the baby would calm down. So in an effort to do that, Pete said to Jonathan and Susie's son, in front of everyone that was there, including Susie, 'Hey, give me a tour of your room. I want to see this city view you keep telling us about.'" So there's this big room that's big enough to have a city room and a city view and an ocean view. It's apparently a big room, and I think it's lined with bunk beds. So that's a key detail here of the setting of where this scene took place. "While Pete was reaching over to open the blinds to see the city view, Jonathan and Susie's daughter got undressed on the other side of the room behind them and was changing into her swimsuit for the day to go to the beach. At the exact time, Jonathan walked up and saw his daughter changing and exploded at Pete and accused him of doing something inappropriate, even though his back was completely turned and he was holding his child. Totally taken off guard and confused at Jonathan's over-the-top reaction towards him, Pete immediately apologized and said, 'Sorry, man, I had no idea she was changing. My back was turned. I'm sorry.'" So he's emphatically apologizing, because that's something you would emphatically apologize over, you know? But a detail, so that is the conflicting account of what happened. So we all know he was there, she was in the room changing, and the parents walk in, and, you know, but apparently there's more people in the room. And now, obviously, you wouldn't teach you should teach a 5-year-old girl not to change when other people are in the room. Just in general, boys in the room, you shouldn't be changing at all, and that's something that a 5-year-old should know. Just my opinion on that as a parent. But anyway, that is the big incident that is alleged. So those are the allegations, and the rest of the Julie Roy's article mostly focuses on the internal investigation or lack thereof of this matter, but that to me is less important. Because what is important is this true or not? That is the most important thing here. Which, we're not really going to know the answer to that. So, there is an industry related to abuse in the church, which we call Abuse Inc. around here. Julie Roy's is kind of their go-to blogger for breaking allegations like these. Julie Roy's will generally go after any powerful man in ministry, regardless of the merits of the claims. And this is despite her underlying hypocrisy with being an abuser by her own standards, in which she engaged in a quasi-homosexual grooming relationship with a youth under her care in a church ministry. So again, Julie Roy's is a hypocrite by her own standards. She is an abuser. Just want to be very clear about that, and that's who these people went to. The Lambs going to Roy's was intended to do maximum damage, but whether this was justified remains unknown. Even though Julie Roy's and the Lambs materially misrepresented the smoking gun moment, the allegations against Pete remain inconclusive. There's simply not enough evidence to determine guilt, and both sides have reasons to either lie or cover up sin. So, I'm going to talk about four possibilities. There are a bit of a quadrant thing going on here. It is kind of how you break it down. So, are Jonathan and Susie Lamb disgruntled Nepo babies slighted at the succession of their family empire? That's one possibility. That means that they're lying and that Pete is innocent. Are they genuinely convinced but wrong that their daughter was molested by Pete? So they're not necessarily lying. They really sincerely believe it, but Pete's actually innocent. So that's the other. That's another possibility. Are they? Is Daystar knowingly covering up abuse that Pete did commit? So this is the worst case scenario. Pete is an abuser, and Daystar is knowingly covering it up. That's a possibility. Or is Pete actually guilty and Daystar is unconvinced because of the lack of evidence? This is also very possible that Daystar just doesn't believe the evidence that concludes that he's guilty. But he actually is guilty, but Daystar doesn't have enough reason to believe that he is. They can genuinely be unconvinced by the evidence because, again, in order to label someone a pedophile, you really need a lot of evidence, just in general. You just can't go off of one person's word or, two people's word about it. So that's the hard part here. Which one of these four possibilities is correct? And we don't know. And that is kind of where the story leaves off. We don't know the answer to it, so it's important with stories like this not to rush to judgment and to actually have all the facts, have both sides. Unfortunately, though, this is not one of those stories where we can see both sides and make up our minds and have a good confidence of what is right. That's not one of these. That's not what the story is. This story's the worst case scenario in that we don't know. We simply don't know. One ministry could be maligned for a complete misunderstanding, or this ministry could be covering up grave sin, and it's just another instance of corruption in evangelical media. So that's really all I got to say about that. And my name is Ray, this is Evangelical Dark Web. Let me know what you think about this story, because I'm genuinely interested. And I'll catch you on the next one. Stay based, Christ is King, and we'll catch you then.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.